Y'all ready? If you got your Bible, hold it up. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came. In Jesus' name, and every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith, my life gets stronger and stronger. Give God your best Wednesday night shout, would you? Sounds so good. Y'all sound so good. Wow. Well, I've been blessed by this series, not because of me, but because of the Word. Has it helped y'all with the Holy Spirit? All month, if you're visiting tonight, we've been talking about what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit. All month on Wednesday night. You don't have to buy a CD. We'll provide it for you free. The teaching, all you have to do is go to our website, download the podcast. There it is for you free. What does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? So open your Bible tonight with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. The first Wednesday night, we talked about the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, the second Wednesday night, we talked about the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a cloud. He's not fire. He's not anointing. He's not power. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is a He. Right, church? The Holy Spirit is a He. You know, we looked at in John chapter 13 through John chapter 17 is the Last Supper. These are the last words of Jesus, and His subject was He was teaching on the Holy Spirit. We all know the last words of someone are the most important words, usually, right? And so the last words, the last teaching, the last sermon that Jesus did was on the topic, the subject of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So that tells me it's important to you and me, right? So we've been looking at the person of the Holy Spirit and who He is, the first part, second part, how do we relate to Him? And then last Wednesday night, you know, I brought to you, reminded you, that you build a relationship with the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? You say, Pastor, I'm a new Christian. How do you build a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Because I can't see Him. I can feel Him from time to time, but you cannot build a relationship with a feeling. Right, church? You cannot build a relationship with a feeling or a mood, you know, again, or a vapor, a fire, or a dove, a cloud, Casper the ghost. No way. How do you build a relationship with someone you cannot see, the Holy Spirit? And we said you build a relationship with the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about the Holy Spirit? And you begin to read and study and find out what the Scriptures say about the Holy Spirit. And then you get to know the Holy Spirit. And then as you get to know Him as the Spirit of truth, notice He's called the Spirit of truth. That means He cannot lie. You can trust Him. You cannot build a relationship with anybody without that's good and healthy without integrity and trust. Am I right, church? So we've looked at that, you know, the first two Wednesday nights, the person of the Holy Spirit. And then last Wednesday night, we talked about how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I gave you scriptures, and then we gave you 3 points at the end, takeaway. They all started with the letter P, and we talked about how to be led. How do you know, is this the Holy Spirit, or is this the devil, Satan, or is this just me, my Domino's pizza I had last night? How do you determine between the three? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it the devil? Or is it me? And we talked about that last Wednesday night, how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Tonight, I want to end the whole month, the series, on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm really excited about this. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. And why should we know, why should we understand and be knowledgeable of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Let me give you 3 reasons, okay? If you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. This is the why of the sermon tonight. Why is he talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? There are 9 of them, by the way, and they're in the Bible, and you and I are to enjoy them, embrace them, and experience them. Enjoy, embrace, and experience. Amen. So we need to know a little bit about them, right? We're going to find out from the Word of God. But number one, why do I need to understand the working of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? To fulfill my assignment. You and I cannot fulfill our assignment without the understanding and the working of the gifts of the Spirit in our life and through our life. Like Pastor Kim said, other people's breakthrough, other people's healing, other people's, what God could do in their life, a lot of times will come through you and come through me and our obedience to how God wants to lead us. Amen? So it's important then, number one, so we can fulfill our assignment. Number two, why we need to have an understanding of the working of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to live an unshakable life. I'm going to back all this up with Scripture tonight. To live an unshakable life. So number one, to fulfill our assignment. Number two, to live an unshakable life. And number three, to demonstrate. You know, it's one thing to have the proclamation of the gospel, right? But we want the demonstration as well. What is the demonstration? Signs and wonders. What are the gifts of the Spirit produce in our life? Signs and wonders and miracles. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16 that he sent them forth and they begin to proclaim the word with signs and wonders confirming the word. So you and I want to demonstrate, not just talk the gospel. We want people to see the power of the gospel. See, tonight we're talking about super in the natural. We're talking about how you and I are to live a supernatural life. And we have this miracle working power available to us. So number one, to fulfill our assignment. Number two, to live an unshakable life. Number three, to demonstrate God's love and God's power, to give a testimony that Jesus is alive and well. Y'all got 3 points now? Y'all got those down? Okay. So let's look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 5 through verse 11 we're going to go, okay? So it's with Christ's body, we are many parts of one body, and we all what? Belong. We're going to start a series this weekend on Welcome Home, that we all belong in the family of God. Amen? We all have a family to belong to. We belong to each other, verse 6. In His grace, God has given us different what? Gifts. He's given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Now, what I'm exposing to you here, we talk about in Growth Track 201. We elaborate on 201 in Growth Track. So He's given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability, now He's going to list some gifts. These are called, if you're a note taker, motivational gifts. Can you say that with me? Motivational gifts. So here is a segment, here is a category, here is a group of seven called, referred to, motive gifts, motivational gifts. And seven in the Bible is the number for complete and for perfection, okay? And here He says that in His grace, God has given us, those who belong to God, those of us who are in the family of God, different gifts for doing certain things with excellence. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Next verse. If your gift is serving, then serve them with excellence. If you're a teacher, now He's listing the seven motivational gifts. If you're a teacher, teach with excellence. If your gift is to encourage other people, and how many of you know that's a gift? To encourage other people, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you a leadership is a gift, isn't it? A leadership ability, take the responsibility, how? Seriously. Take it seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness, wow, that's a gift. Mercy, right? Kindness to others. Do it gladly. Verse 9. So now He just listed seven. Everybody say seven. motivational gifts. Now, everyone who is in the body, you are a believer, you do belong, you have one of these dominant in your life. You have one of these dominant in your life, and then you have two others that float around and surface from time to time. Okay? So we've all of us that belong, that are Christ followers, that are believers, that are in the body, we've been given a motivational gift. So don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Next verse. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honor. Here's some one another's. You all remember that? The one another ministry. Honoring one another. Verse 11. Never be lazy. Well, that's good to remember as dream team members, right? As dream team members, as dream team, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord with enthusiasm. Act enthusiasm. Y'all heard that? Act enthusiasm, and you'll be, I'm not going there tonight. That's Amway. Praise God. Praise the Lord. That's those old Amway days way back then. All right. So what I want you to see there is the motivational gift. Say motivational. Okay. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Ephesians 4 verse 11 and 12. These are called ministry gifts. Okay. So we have motivational gifts and then now we have ministry gifts, right? So say it with me, ministry gifts, okay? I'm a ministry gift given to you from the head of the church, okay? There are five of those. Seven motivational, five ministry, all right? So as he gave some, so everybody's not one of these, there are just some apostles. Now, an apostle today would be a missionary, okay? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Notice five ministry gifts. Then what are we here for? For the church, for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints, for the what? Work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So our first category is motivational. Our second category of gifts is ministry. And now we're going to get into our sermon. Our third category is called manifestation gifts. Manifestation gifts. Y'all with me? The first is what? Motivational. The second is ministry. And the third is manifestation. Okay, good. Y'all doing great tonight. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. It's on the overheads for us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Well, that's the motivation, isn't it? Behind the gifts of the Holy Spirit. A spiritual gift is given to some of us, all of us. So everyone in this room tonight who's a Christ follower, you're born again, you're a believer, you belong, you're in this house, this church is your home, welcome home, then what? You have been given a spiritual gift, right? You've been given spiritual gifts. And what are they for? To help other people and to edify the church. Right, church? Okay. Then next verse, can we go on? To one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Now, he's going to list nine of them. Okay. He's going to list nine of them. All right. These are manifestation gifts. To one person, the Spirit. So who gives it? The Spirit, capital S is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. Verse 9. The same Spirit gives great faith. To another, to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. To another, he gives one person the power to perform what? Miracles. To another, the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another has the ability to interpret what is said. Verse 11, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. How many of them are there? Nine. And they're called manifestations of the Spirit So they're manifestation gifts, and they're given so that we can help each other and we can edify and build up the body of Christ. Are we clear so far? So then he says, he alone. So we don't decide which one we want. He, who's he? The Holy Spirit, personal pronoun. Well, Pastor, I just don't know how to get to know the Holy Spirit. You build a relationship with the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God. What does the Scripture say about him? And here it says that he alone decides which gift each person should have. Wow, so we don't get up in the morning and say, you know, I want the gift of faith today. Holy Spirit, give it to me. We can't do that, right? Because he knows the gift that needs to operate through you that day. Pastor, I want to know, out of the nine, which is the best gift of the nine? Some think giving a message in tongues with the interpretation. Some think a gift of healing. Pastor, which is it? Which is the best gift and the greatest gift out of all nine? I've got an answer. Are you ready? The one you need at that particular time of the day. Does that make sense? The one you need at that particular time of the day. And the Holy Spirit knows the exact one you need, right, to work through you a miracle, a breakthrough, to work through you a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, to work through you to minister to others and help them and edify and build the church. Are we still okay? All right. So then let's look, if we could, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not that you be what? So we're studying them because we're not supposed to be ignorant of them, right? We are told not to be ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit and how they operate and how they flow and work through us. We're to study the Word to show ourselves approved, to understand their workings, so we're positioned to be a vessel for the power of God to flow through us and see signs and wonders that confirm the testimony of Jesus that he is alive and well and does miracles today. Right, church? Okay, so don't be ignorant. We're studying them because of that. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. Follow after charity. Now, what would that be? Love and action, right? Love and action. And what? Look at the overheads. What does the overhead say? So all of us, now, if you're a non-believer, this doesn't pertain to you. And by the way, we're so glad you came. We love you. Just hang with us tonight. Don't look for perfection tonight, because we're not. We're just in process. We're glad you're here checking us out, okay? So give us more than one time. Come back again. You know, check us out two or three times, okay? But for us that are believers, we're Christ followers, we are to study the gifts, not be ignorant, and then we are to desire the gifts. So if we want them to move in our life, we don't want to be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We want to get a knowledge of their working, and then also we need to desire them to flow through us. Amen? So he says that follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. So we are to get a knowledge of them. We're to have a desire for them. That is so important. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 14, we've got 1 Corinthians 1, 4. Okay, that'll work too. So we'll just start right there, okay? Paul says, I thank you. That's good. Let's just go on back. Praise God. It's all good, guys. It's me. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given to you by Jesus Christ. If you're a note taker, or you can mark in your Bible or highlight the word grace. Now, this is a prayer Paul is praying to the Corinthians. And he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, for the grace of God, which is given to you by Jesus Christ. Circle the word grace. And here it's pertaining to grace first starts on the inside of us, a work. And if grace is on the inside of us working, then there should be an outward manifestation of that change. If we're allowing the grace of God to change us on the inside, there should be an outward manifestation of that grace, the work of grace on the outside. There should be fruits of repentance, right? If we say we're a Christian, we should act like one. Okay, I gave you the amplified version there, okay? All right, so I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ. Next verse, we're going all the way to verse 11. That in everything you are enriched by him. I like the word enriched. That you are enriched by Jesus in all utterance. Now, what is he listing now? The gifts of the Holy Spirit. A word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. That you would be enriched by him, that you would increase, that you would prosper, that you would see the fruit of, in utterance, in all knowledge. Let's continue, please, verse 6. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, the testimony of Christ. So notice, that's so important. Why do you and I want to desire, want to know, want the working of the gifts of the Spirit in our life? Because it gives testimony to Jesus Christ. It lets people know that not only are we declaring, not only proclaiming the gospel, but we're demonstrating the gospel with signs and wonders. Oh, they see that he's alive and well and does miracles today. You're giving testimony to him. Okay? So next verse, okay. That you stand behind in no gift. You all see that? That you stand behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So notice that the gifts of the Spirit did not cease with the apostles. Notice that the gifts of the Spirit did not stop in Bible times. Notice that the gifts of the Spirit, and we're not to lack in any gift, and the gifts of the Spirit are to give testimony to Jesus Christ, that the gifts of the Spirit, we are to operate in them, allowing them to flow through us as the Spirit wills, to help other people and to build the church and edify the body. We are to do that until Jesus Christ comes back. Did y'all see that? Until the return of Jesus Christ. So there are to be signs and wonders and miracles in your life, through your life, until you die or Jesus Christ comes back. Isn't that good news? Wow. So miracles didn't pass away in Bible times. All right. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Who shall also confirm you until the end. He will strengthen you. So when you and I, word confirm means to be steadfast and unshakable. It means to be steadfast and unshakable. When you allow the power, the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow through you, you can live an unshakable life. When you need healing for your children, you can lay hands on them and see them restored, right? When you're facing an impossibility, and we walk in faith, but our faith is not enough, and we need the gift of faith, you know, then the gift of faith, if you need it at that time, as the Spirit wills, that gift will flow through you to do the impossible. So notice, we need the gifts of the Spirit to fulfill our assignment, right? To lay hands on the sick, to see them recover, to do the impossible, to achieve all that God's called us to do. And then not only that, to live an unshakable life, to have a word of knowledge, to have a word of wisdom, to have the discerning of spirits, to know, is this spirit of God or is this spirit of Satan? To get a right now word for your business, get a right now word for your marriage, get a right now word for the change and the transition you're in, what to do, wisdom, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. See how it all works together, church? To live an unshakable life, to fulfill your assignment, you know, all of that. And it says here that he will confirm you, you will live a steadfast, unmovable, unshakable life till the end, that you might be blameless until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see all the benefits of allowing the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow through you, to meet the needs of other people, meet the needs of those in your family, your loved ones, your friends, your associates, and to give testimony to God and to the world that you live a supernatural life? Oh, I can sense the Holy Spirit right now happy with us. Amen. Can we just thank the Lord for his word right now? Come on, let's just worship God right now. Lord, we receive. God, we're open. God, we yield. God, we just thank you right now. Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives. Holy Spirit, we say yes. We yield to the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in them. We want to grow in them. We want to be enriched in them right now, every day of our life. We yield. We obey. We are led in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All right? Look with me, if you would, Hebrews chapter 2. I think we got that one. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Look at this scripture, fam. Look at the overheads. Besides this evidence, it was also established, plainly endorsed by God, who showed us his approval of it by how? Signs and wonders and various what? Miracles of the what? Now, what did I tell you the manifestations of the Spirit is? It's the gifts of the Spirit, right? Remember, you have the motivational gifts, you have the ministry gifts, and the manifestation gifts, okay? The manifestation gifts produces signs and wonders and miracles in your life. By the way, they should be following you. Mark 16, verse 15 through 20, and these signs shall follow those that believe. You know, you got to believe in miracles to have one. You got to believe that God wants to use you for God to use you. Amen. But look what he says. Who showed us his approval of it by signs and wonders and various miraculous manifestations of his power and by the imparting, y'all looking at the overheads with me? By the imparting of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to who? It's only for believers, right? It's only for Christ followers. This kind of gives you an edge. This kind of gives you an edge when you're facing difficulty as a believer, challenges, changes, transitions. You're in a crisis. Your back is against the wall. Isn't it good to know you're not alone? It's not in your power. It's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord, that the Holy Spirit, to his own will, as he knows what you need, when you need it, will flow through you if we'll yield, obey, listen, and be led. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a good praise. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Now, let me give you some points here tonight. The guys will put them up on the screen. They can give us some points. Action steps. Number one, as the team comes out, don't be ignorant of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What do as we leave here tonight? Well, I would encourage you to take these scriptures and passages and begin to study them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And begin to study, because you're going to build a relationship, what? Through the Word of God. And then as you study them, revelation is going to come. And if you have a cross-reference Bible, it'll give you cross-reference scriptures that will give you examples of each of the gifts in action. So you can see from the Bible what it really looks like. So don't be ignorant of the gifts. We need to study about them. Amen, church? Number two, please. Desire spiritual gifts. If we don't have a desire, then we're not going to move towards them. And guess what? The Holy Spirit's not going to move through us. You know, he wants to move through a willing temple, a willing vessel, one who desires the gifts of the Spirit. Like Pastor Kim said, every morning we get up, good morning, Holy Spirit. I need you today. I ask for your help. I'm open. I yield to the gifts of the Spirit. And you know as you will what I need today is you want to work in me and work through me. Yeah, to help other people, my family, my friends, my co-workers, and then also edify the local church and build the body of Christ. So number one, we don't want to be ignorant. We want to start studying them. Number two, desire spiritual gifts. And number three, demonstrate these gifts until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we got to believe in miracles for them to happen. We got to believe that God wants signs and wonders to happen through us, to testify that not to brag on us, not to give us a platform, not to give us a quote unquote healing ministry. Come on, somebody. But to point them to Christ. To give a testimony that Jesus is alive and well, and he still does miracles. So how do you demonstrate, Pastor? You start being aware and conscious of a nudge. Did you hear Pastor Kim give the illustration that they were in a prayer circle and she looked over and saw someone? What was that? That was the discerning of spirits. That was looking into the other world, seeing that person's skeleton and seeing the inflammation in that person's body. And what was that? That was a nudge. So she followed that nudge. You could call it a leading, call it a nudge, you know. And what was that? She followed it. What happened? A miracle, a sign and a wonder. Wasn't it? The demonstration of the power of God, and the person was helped. They were healed. They were set free. They found freedom, and they brought glory to God.